From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning we'll be in the studio today and tomorrow. We'll give you a remote podcast depending on SEC baseball tournament. The rest of the week we will not have one on Wednesday. I will be traveling and Ole Miss plays at 1 o'clock in the SEC tournament against either the Auburn Tigers or the Kentucky Wildcats.
I'll be traveling too.
That's a good point.
So, I'm going to drop Carson off at school Wednesday morning and then go straight to Birmingham.
So Thursday, here's the schedule. I'm going to tell you now, barring something going on that we are not aware of, if Ole Miss plays in the two early games of the day, we will not podcast because it's obsolete immediately and they're having first pitches basically by the time all you guys will be listening to it. If they play the later two games of the day, we will podcast. That's been our rule in the past. That's how we've usually done it.
On Thursday, they'll either play at 1 or 5, correct?
Correct, yes. If it's a 1 o'clock game, we will not podcast. If it's 5, we will probably give some type of podcast.
There you go. There you go.
That's the hope. That's the thought. We'll see where it goes from there.
And we'll take Friday. We'll play Friday by ear. It's not going to be a week packed with podcasts just because of travel.
I think that's fair.
I mean, it is what it is. Jay Tate and I are going to tape one at some point this week because we'll both be in Birmingham. But Auburn plays Tuesday. If Auburn wins, we'll be covering the same game on Wednesday. If Auburn loses, Jay won't be in Birmingham anymore. So we'll have to figure it out.
Gotcha. In the meantime, you should go on over to the Oxford Exxon, get maybe some lunch specials, get some ribs, get some daiquiris, or you can go next door to the Oxford Crystal. $3.99 for a sunriser combo. You get a couple sunrisers, you get a drink, you get some hash browns, you can get full $3.99 there at the Oxford Crystal. Thanks to everybody for helping out with Donna and Nick and the medical fund last week. Ben said they broke a breakfast sales record. So because of you, we thank you on behalf of all the Craddocks and the Oxford Exxon and Oxford Crystal family there. But remember, daiquiris, $3 or more, 44 ounces or less. Whatever you want, daiquiri-wise, they can hook you up. They're on Highway 6 and Blue Sky throughout Mississippi. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. Excuse my voice. You dealt with Chase's voice last week. Mine's this week. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. There's no haggling. There's no hassle. It's right to the bottom line. You get your quote, and then it's kind of up to you. You can shop that quote around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our family of podcasts, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Get a great Ford product, you get great service, delivery options, all that stuff. Everybody at Clark Ford's fantastic. You will you'll enjoy your car buying experience from them, and you'll enjoy it a little bit more if you'll wait till near the end of your deal. Tell Corey that, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on any of the family podcasts, including this one, of course, and it's $500 off. The bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, again, that number is 662-257-1900.
When did you get hit by it?
Lauren Campbell left for Fayetteville on Thursday. I didn't wake up feeling great Friday. And then I didn't feel good at all Saturday. I thought I felt better yesterday. So I get on the Peloton, and I'm doing a one-hour ride. And I had my heart rate at like 81, 82%, which is a good place. And I was good. I was sweaty and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, man, my heart rate, without me trying, went from 82 to 99. Bang. And I felt like I was going to pass out.
Huh.
Literally, it was just me and Carson in the house, and I was getting ready to kind of yell for him. Because I thought, I'm going to pass out on this bike, and you're clipped in. I was like, what's going to happen? And then it kind of calmed down. I drank some water, and I was all right. It took me hours to kind of recover from it, and then I didn't feel good afterwards. So I think whatever I was doing sort of kicked the sinuses in.
No top 5% on that Peloton ride.
Actually, I finished
You didn't get off the bike?
No, I finished the ride.
Well, you're kind of stupid there.
Well, I was this far in. I was going to finish it.
Okay.
I finished 12th out of like 1,400. That's pretty good.
Was second impression in Fayetteville as good as the first?
Yeah, I think she liked it.
Okay.
I think she liked it. She still has some time. She wants to look at a couple other places.
Okay.
But she liked it. They've done a good job with her.
Seeing polls this morning, as irrelevant as they are, Ole Miss number 4 in the Baseball America top 25 as of this morning.
It's good. But like it could not be less relevant at this moment.
So Ole Miss beats Alabama 2 out of 3. Made me look smart in doing it. They won the Thursday and the Saturday games, lost the Friday game. I probably should have bet the money line on each of them, maybe as a whole.
You would have done well.
I would have done well.
The kid for Alabama on Friday night.
I warned everybody.
He pitched well. He pitched with a lot of heart. He pitched with a lot of emotion, was able to channel that emotion, and then he got a couple of breaks. Mm-hmm. Fortes had a really bad hat bat. And then I think it was Dillard, or was it Zabowski?
Yeah, it Dillard. Was
Dillard. Dillard hit one that most every other day is gone, and that day the wind knocked it down.
And they if got, the wind's not blowing out, that part plays really big. I mean, I don't know why, but for some reason, without the wind blowing out, that place gets a little cavernous.
Watching Dillard's body language, I think he thought he got it.
Yeah.
And but the wind caught it, and the wind blows both ways for both teams, and so Alabama was able to get that one. And then Ole Miss kind of took Alabama's best shot on Saturday a little bit, and Mother Nature got involved for hours and hours and hours and hours. And they won, and kudos to them.
So coupled that with Georgia back-ending a series against the Arkansas Razorbacks, Ole Miss has won the SEC West.
It's almost like Arkansas's not as good on the road as they are at home.
Weirdly, something like that.
Something like, amazing.
You know, it's Ole Miss's first title since 2014. They also have SEC West titles in 2009, 2005. So it is their fourth under Mike.
The battle among people to minimize a championship blows me away.
The co-champ thing?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. They both went 18 and 12. That's the top record in the SEC West. They're both champions. Ole Miss won the game.
They're both going to get whatever that trophy looks like now.
They're both going to get one of those trophies. They're both going to put it up in their building, as they should. They're both going to hang a banner or whatnot, as they probably should. Ole Miss gets the better seed, thank God. Because I'm going to tell you, when I thought they could be the 5 seed, I was miserable. I thought, we're going to be the 5. I'm going to be the 5 seed. Covering a late night game on Tuesday night, they're going to win, and I'm going to do it again on Wednesday night, and I'll be exhausted by Thursday. Instead, they took care of business, took care of me in the process. Get started, I figure, about 12:45, 1 o'clock on Wednesday. Game be over by about 4:15. I'll be through with my work by 6:30. All good.
Ridiculous.
You know, you think the exact same thing when you're covering it. That's like I told somebody, you're just mad about late nights. I said, there is a universal rule for, I mean, you will not find a beat writer who's like, yeah, man, I want to cover the late game. It'll never happen.
Well, no.
Everybody wants to cover the early game.
Final SEC standings, if you are interested. I'll tell you, Florida made this thing a little bit interesting late. They lose their last 4 conference games of the season. They lose the Sunday game to Georgia and then lose all 3 in Starkville.
And got kind of a weird draw, too.
Well, they didn't pitch a lot of guys, but they also – here's what happens a little bit. And look, I mean, credit to State, you still got to do it. When you don't throw your guys – There is a minimizing effect that happens to your team where they go, well, this doesn't really matter if you're not doing this.
It didn't really matter.
No, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, sure.
Suddenly, everybody else is not playing as sharp either. It's going, well.
Once you watch a baseball.
It happened to Auburn a little bit when Mize not throwing. There was a psychological thing with Casey Mize not throwing that opener for Auburn, in my opinion.
Yes, of course. You get into like Major League Baseball into late September and a team that's already clinched the AL East or whatever, and all of a sudden they take their foot off the gas. It's amazing how. And by doing it, they just change kind of who they pitch a little bit. And it's amazing how it flows through the roster.
Well, and sometimes it's hard to put your foot back on the gas.
Well, there's no question that that is the concern. If you're Florida, you earned the right to hit the off button, to cruise a minute, because they're a national seed no matter what.
Yeah.
But at some point, and at some point comes in about a week and a half from right now, you hit that green button to go. You know how, that sound your car makes when the battery won't turn over? That you worry if you're Florida, that's the sound you're going to get, or you're just going to get that dreaded click, click, click sound where it's like, oh, you know, if you're Florida, that's your concern. I think they're fine. They're so talented. I don't blame them for resting people, especially if Singer had anything resembling a hamstring issue, you don't pitch.
So Florida 20-10 in the SEC. They win the SEC. They have a 2-game lead on Georgia, Ole Miss, and Arkansas, who all go 18-12 as well. South Carolina finishes 5th at 17-13. We've got a 16-14 with the Vanderbilt Commodores, a 15-15 with the Auburn Tigers, the LSU Tigers, and the Mississippi State Bulldogs. State winning 4 in a row, I think, to finish to get to 15-15.
Got to give them a lot of credit, man. They started the season. If I told you in mid-February they're going 15-15 in the league, you'd have been like, I don't think so.
The two teams that have a lot of work to do in Hoover to make their NCAA selection show feel a little safer, the Kentucky Wildcats and the Texas A&M Aggies, both at 13-17 in the SEC. They might get saved by the RPI, but we'll see.
All right, so let's talk about this. I know the four teams that at the top are hosting regionals. Let's start with the regionals. Those four teams are hosting regionals. No matter what the hell happens in Hoover. Anybody else in the hosting mix?
It would take a deep run. But if you told me Auburn stayed in the conversation, I would buy it. The RPI is 12.
Yeah.
But they went 15-15. 15-15 I don't think has ever hosted before. But if you told me they got to Sunday or something.
They'd probably have to get to Sunday.
Yeah, I do too. I think they'd have to get to Sunday.
I don't know that they're good enough to get to Sunday.
I don't think they hit enough.
That's what I mean.
You got to hit your way through one or two of those.
Yeah.
But that would be the only other team. Carolina's got an RPI of 34. That's just not happening.
No, they're not hosting.
And nobody else is. I mean, Vanderbilt's at 29 in the RPI.
Carolina's going to be somebody's damn nightmare as a 2-seed rolling in there.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's going to look up and go, really? We played all season to get them as the 2?
Send them to Clemson.
Oh, that's what they always do. To me, it's so lazy.
Actually, they won't.
So lazy.
They played in the regular season already. I don't think that happens.
I hope not. It's lazy.
Now, if you tell me they sent them to North Carolina, I'd buy that.
Okay. All right, so 4 regionals.
Yeah.
Now, what about supers? You know Florida's getting one. Florida has no work to do. The other 3 that are in contention, how much work do they have to do to feel good? I know you've already written about this a little bit, but...
Look, they all have issues. If you told me right now, I'm looking at it, I got the nitty-gritty up.
Okay.
Records against Group 1s, meaning top 50 RPI teams.
Okay.
Georgia's 19-10.
It's very good.
Arkansas is 20-12. Ole Miss is 16-11.
All basically the same record, frankly.
Close. Here's something to look at with Ole Miss. And I don't know how the committee breaks this down, frankly. I mean, just being honest, I have no idea. But what would worry me a touch if I'm Ole Miss is their top 25 record right now is 9-3. So good. I mean, they have an excellent top 25 record. Okay?
Okay.
State's at 26. If they go into the top 25, as trivial as this is, their top 25 RPI record suddenly goes to 10-6. Still really good, but not 9-3.
Right.
Just a little bit of something to look at there. I mean, that should not even a little bit matter, but I'm just throwing that out there. That kind of struck me as odd. RPI is headed into Hoover. Georgia's at 3. Arkansas is at 4. Ole Miss is at 9. Ole Miss has the best overall record in the SEC at 42-14, for whatever that matters. Road records matter sometimes. Ole Miss is 13-9 on the road, very, very strong. Georgia is 12-11 on the road, and then those Hogs you were mentioning are 6-13 on the road in the SEC. That could be a devastating mark for them.
It's kind of what I think.
I think road record could be a devastating mark for Arkansas.
If you made me predict.
And they lost. Head-to-head doesn't really matter. I know everybody wants it to matter, but it just doesn't matter.
And it shouldn't.
But in saying that, Arkansas did lose to Ole Miss and Georgia.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Now, both on the road.
Both on the road. And so that's a mitigating circumstance.
Yes.
Because Arkansas would argue, and the numbers would support it, that well, if we played those series in Fayetteville, we would have won both of them. Now, I know you're at there going, well, that's not how it works. And I know, I realize. I'm just telling you that's what their argument would be, and it's valid.
National seed locks right now, in my opinion. Florida, Stanford, North Carolina, Oregon State. I think there's four.
Okay.
I just think their schedule ends up biting them. I don't think they've done enough. Basically because they couldn't do enough. Numbers aren't bad. There's nothing in there that's a black mark, but I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't think that's there. The SEC, if it ended right now, I mean, there was no conference tournaments, I think they'd get four. I do. I think they'd get four.
Really?
I do. So I think they'd leave one spot then for, I don't know, Florida State, Clemson, or Texas Tech.
Those are four teams that are really good at home. You would really be running the risk if you're the NCAA. Maybe it's not a risk.
Well, it's not a risk. Attendance blows up when they do that.
So they're for it.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Florida doesn't travel anywhere much. No offense to the Gators, but no. They don't.
Arkansas and Ole Miss would send thousands.
Yes. Arkansas and Ole Miss would send tons and tons and tons of people. And Georgia, frankly, might too.
Yeah, they have traveled well in the past when they've been in Omaha.
But Arkansas and Ole Miss would fill up the stadium.
They'd get four if it was today. Here's your worry if you're Ole Miss. Or if you're Arkansas or if you're Georgia. These resumes are all interchangeable. I mean, I can make an argument for anybody. I would personally go Georgia, Ole Miss, and Arkansas in that. If I'm just looking at metrics, that's how I would rank them right now.
Okay.
The road record for Arkansas is a concern for me.
It's a hurt. It's very hurtful.
But if you're Ole Miss, you just don't want to go 0-2. And then have Georgia and Arkansas both hanging around on Saturday. That is the worry. Somebody's going to lock up their thing this week by just winning some games. I mean, the best teams, some of those best teams are still going to be around on Saturday.
So
and when that happens.
If you're Ole Miss, who do you want to play Wednesday, Kentucky or Auburn?
Auburn, team with a little less to be motivated by. And frankly, I don't think they hit enough in that park to go run through it. I think on Wednesday they'd have to throw – you're either moving a freshman up on short rest. Yeah, I mean, I'd like –
because they're not throwing Mize till Friday.
Yes, so it's all.
Nor should they because he has not looked particularly good the last
two
hours.
I'm not a big believer on the you can't beat the same team so many times.
No.
I think you want Auburn if you're Ole Miss.
All right, so let's get to the other big topic that everyone's going to beat to death over the next 48 hours, unless Mike kills it later today. If you're Mike Bianco, who pitches Wednesday afternoon? Not only that, who do you – first, let's start here before we get into Chase Parham's opinions on who should pitch. Who do you think will pitch?
I think Ryan Rollison pitches Wednesday afternoon.
I agree. He's pitched on 5 days rest several times before.
And you know, like I said, it's been – here's where Ole Miss has been benefited a little bit. They've had a ton of Thursday games. So he's already sort of been on a already one-day schedule anyway.
Right.
I don't think he would be – I don't think he'd be less effective. And I don't – if he's comfortable, and I'm not insinuating anything about Mike doing something that would make him uncomfortable, I think I agree because I think they need a win. I think you run the risk with Jordan Fowler. Now, in saying that, maybe you look up and go, well, Rollison would then pitch on Thursday against somebody's number three that they've played. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different ways to variable that out. But.
If I'm them, I play Wednesday's game to win it. Now, if I use Etheridge on Wednesday, I don't use him again until I might not use him again. If I'm Ole Miss and I can win Wednesday and then win Thursday, If I get to Saturday, I don't really give a rip anymore. It's done. I don't care.
No,
I don't,
Saturday, yeah, it does not matter.
I don't
matter.
Play Saturday. I play. I just play the game.
And if I hit my way to it, great.
So be it. But I'm not killing a bullpen to try to – and I know there are fans out there, specifically a few of you on the message board I can think of, and I respect your opinion, but I'm telling you, if you were to win Wednesday and Thursday, Saturday's game for you is relatively meaningless.
Yeah, no, there's
even
no doubt.
If
yeah.
Even if it's Arkansas in the opposing dugout.
They just both get one, man.
They're both in. Because you pitch MacArthur and you just, whatever. If he's good, awesome. If he's not, so be it.
Well, and just looking at it, it would not be Arkansas. Arkansas is on the other side of the bracket. Ole Miss, Saturday opponent would be Georgia, A&M, Vanderbilt, Auburn, or Kentucky.
Gotcha.
So,
I think you play Wednesday to win. If you win, there's less pressure on you Thursday. At that point, you throw Feigl, assuming he can pitch on
if
that.
If they both win, Ole Miss would play Georgia on Thursday night. Frankly, you win that one, and it's
– yeah, it's done.
It's
people
over.
People will make that a play-in game, and I don't think it would be, but people would turn that into one.
If it is, we've all lost our minds.
Well, if it is, the committee had already made up its mind that they were going to grow –
whoever lasts in Hoover the longest is in.
They were going to grow the damn tournament.
We'll look at that bracket in a second. First, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773. Still time for that spring cleanup special, as well as maybe time to get a little aeration on your lawn. Sign an annual contract and let them take care of you all year long. Again, 662-607-7773.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts, which is up on rebelgrove.com. rebelgrove.com, part of the Rivals Network. You can check it out at predictably rebelgrove.com. We would appreciate your subscribership. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He has been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site, and he'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. You can click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you think you are looking for, and then send him an email. He'll take care of the rest. ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast is also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try 7 South Tailgating once, and you'll never tailgate without them again. They'll set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm just coming up for one game. You know, you and some buddies, y'all live way away, and you're coming up for one game. 7 South will take care of you. They can accommodate you for one game. They can accommodate you for if you're coming up for all the SEC games and not the non-league games. Maybe you're coming up for the big game against UL Monroe. They can handle you. If you're coming for all the games, they've got a package. Just get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the people there at 7 South. 7SouthTailgating.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, all without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
So looking at the bracket, as mentioned a second ago, all the way through on your Tuesday games. Again, these are single elimination. We're double elimination on Wednesday to Friday, single elimination Tuesday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a bit of a mess from a bracket standpoint, but you get used to it, figured out. Tuesday, Vanderbilt.
Bracket is hard to read.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Used to be harder when they flipped the brackets on Saturday.
Yeah, I would have given up.
Vanderbilt versus Texas A&M is your opener at 9:30 on Tuesday morning when no one will be in attendance. Vanderbilt is safe now for NCAA tournament play. A&M has to have it, in my opinion. I think they lose. They're out, even with an RPI as gaudy as theirs.
They have underachieved, man.
The 11 seed in the SEC, A&M.
They have underachieved.
It's a talented club and just haven't put it together, had bad weekends. Auburn versus Kentucky. Again, Kentucky, got to have it. If you're Auburn, you probably have no work to do unless suddenly you look up and you're there on Saturday, in my opinion. But that's kind of where they are. Kentucky desperately has to have it. LSU against Mississippi State. Both those teams are safe for play, in my opinion.
What time's that game?
That game's at 4:30.
There actually will be a pretty good crowd for that. There will be a lot of people defending the tournament there, protecting the tournament, the integrity of the tournament. Someone, I mean, seriously, there's a pissed off fan base walking out of that place on Tuesday night.
Oh, there's a lot of truth about that.
Somebody's done. Tuesday night, somebody's done.
LSU not used to going home on Tuesday in Hoover.
That's actually an intriguing game.
If you just had to drop down from the sky and watch one, that'd be the one you wanted to watch.
Oh, that's the one I want to go down and watch the people. I want to people watch that game. You got two contrasting cultures, Mississippi State and LSU. You can't get much different than that. Like, you know, when Ole Miss and LSU play, everybody talks about rivals and all that stuff. The truth is, there's a lot of similarities. I mean, I'm keeping that real.
They all get along all right.
I mean, Ole Miss and LSU, I know you guys, some of you are, if you'll take a deep dive into what I'm saying, you'll understand. There's a lot of similarities in the two schools. Those similarities are not shared, Mississippi State and LSU.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State people think this tournament belongs to them, and the LSU people think this tournament belongs to them.
Well, and they've been right lately.
And they've been right a lot.
And they travel all week. The LSU people are not leaving and going back home on Wednesday. They're going to stay.
Oh, but if you're the people in Hoover, you really want LSU to win that game.
Counterpoint. I mean, if they're staying mostly anyway, wouldn't State being still in the tournament increase it?
I think the LSU people make the tournament atmosphere a little more fun.
Well, there's no doubt about that now. It can get sterile in that place quick.
Yeah. LSU people make that tournament kind of fun.
There's some truth there. Okay.
And in your tournament can get, like you said, it can get bad sterile. If you don't believe me, turn it on Tuesday morning when A&M and who is it?
Vanderbilt.
When that game gets going. You'll hear the birds chirping in the background.
I've covered that game a couple times when Ole Miss has been in that six slot, and it's even weird for like media because like we get up there and there's no one around. There's nobody in the stands. There's really nobody in the press box. I'll go down and get a coffee and a donut and come back and You're just sort of watching a game. It feels like a high school game, like a state championship high school game where there's people milling around a little bit in a park. I mean,
feels like a class 1A state championship
game. Yeah, it's like the 10 a.m. game at Trustmark between Knox the Pater and, you know, whomever.
You know it's big for the families of the kids involved. That's it.
Is your mic on?
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay.
Did it die?
No, it didn't die, but your voice just kind of went down a little bit.
It could be my voice went down a little bit.
Yeah, your octaves are lowering a little bit as you're speaking.
No, it's still on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not getting much read out of you there.
I'll try to talk louder. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to hurt?
It hurts.
Okay. Then in the Battle of Columbia, South Carolina plays Missouri in the nightcap. South Carolina did not want a nightcap, I have a feeling, because there's nothing they can do in this tournament either way whatsoever. They can win it, not host, and they can lose and not host. So that's where Carolina is right now. Georgia plays Vanderbilt or A&M on Wednesday.
That's the 9:30 game Wednesday.
It is.
Okay.
A&M Georgia would be kind of interesting. Vanderbilt Georgia would not be interesting at all. Ole Miss, Auburn, or Kentucky, as you know. Florida gets LSU or Mississippi State on Wednesday. And then Arkansas gets South Carolina or Missouri. Missouri is 12-18 in the league, so I don't know that they can get in this thing, no matter what their RPI is, no matter what they do.
No, I mean, they can't.
I think they've got to get to Sunday to get in. They get to Sunday, they're in.
Yeah, they're probably not good enough to get to Sunday.
Yeah, tall order. And on that side of the bracket where Vanderbilt, I mean, Arkansas and Florida are sitting there.
Yeah, you'd have to run into a lot of apathy.
Well, yeah, because on Wednesday, you've got to figure out with your number two or whoever you're throwing if you're Missouri, how to stop that lineup for nine innings when you're not very good. And that's going to be very hard to do because Arkansas does hit.
Oh, they're going to hit, and they're going to be a little pissy after the weekend.
Think so?
Probably.
So
they could have won all three of those games.
You're predicting a 0-2 Q for the Gators. You're predicting six straight losses for Florida entering regionals.
And I'm not anti-Florida at all. I don't think they have a lot to play for, and I just don't know that they're going to hit that button right now. I mean, if Singer had a hamstring issue in Starkville, he's not pitching in Hoover either.
Did he get an hamstring injury?
Probably not. Or if he did, it was very mild, and you're just, hey, let's wait. Come on. The damn thing's going to go through Gainesville. All you got to do if you're them is win five games in Gainesville over 2 weeks. How many times have they done that this year?
Hold on.
I mean, a bunch. Let's go do it again.
28.
Let's go do it again.
They're 28-6 at home this season.
We got to win five games in Gainesville, and they're in the turn.
They got to win three before they lose two, and they got to win two before they lose two.
I like their chances. They can accomplish nothing in Hoover other than some psychological deal about feeling a little better. Yeah, that's overrated. Go get to Gainesville and play. If I'm them, I don't even take two or three of my starting guys. I really don't. Go home. If he has a hamstring thing, all right, go get your treatment. Do this. Throw a little long toss.
And go sit on the couch.
Comfortably on the couch. Don't get all contorted.
Yeah. When you're toweling off after showers, don't suffer a crick in your neck, that kind of thing.
Right. Be smart.
Yeah.
Seriously, just go be smart. If you're Florida, you do not want to be there on Sunday.
Well, no. Who wants to be there on Sunday?
Oh,
Auburn?
I mean, the obvious ones, Kentucky, Auburn.
A&M.
Not even South Carolina. They have nothing to win.
Yeah, I mean, part of me wonders if Carolina's RPI could jump a lot, but I don't think so. I think they're just trapped.
Missouri would love to get to Sunday. That would put them in the mix.
Well, it'd give you a chance to win one more and be in. There's an automatic bid.
And then I suspect Ole Miss, Georgia, and Arkansas, if they were being honest, would say, hey, you know what, just to feel great about it, I wouldn't mind being there Sunday.
Yeah.
Now, if one of those teams is still getting there, if they're there on Sunday, I know the game says championship. You're not throwing anybody that has pitched. I don't know who that means for Ole Miss. You know the depth of the bullpen better than I do, but some cat's getting the ball with a chance to, hey, look, you can either be a hero here or you can eat one. It's up to you.
Hey, Max Schofield.
Yeah.
Go grab a glove, bud.
That's where you tell Parker, hey, man, assuming he's thrown once or twice, do not bring your spikes to the park. And I mean totally serious because you're going to play a much more – this is the part that's crazy about this time of the year. Let's say hypothetically Ole Miss is playing on Sunday. Even though the game says championship on it, it's nowhere close to as important as the game they're going to play in 5 days. Not even in the ballpark of importance.
If you want to give Mike a great situation and a migraine at the same time is, hey, Mike, you're going to play on Sunday against Mississippi State.
Oh, that's the worst, yeah. Because they're going to turn it into the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls. But the reality is the game you play on Friday against
Bethune-Cookman or somebody
is a significantly more important game than the one that you're going to play. And assuming you beat Bethune-Cookman, the game that you're going to play against Southern Miss or somebody on Saturday is the one that, frankly, is going to determine what happens to the destiny of your season, much more than what happens on Sunday in Hoover, when in reality, if Ole Miss is playing on Sunday in Hoover, whether they win 100-0 or lose 100-0 or anything in between, they're a national top 18.
Sometime on Monday morning, they're going to put the little Oxford up on the map and send teams there and move on with your day.
And so that's where, boy, and I understand if you're a fan – you want to see anybody but Mississippi State on the other side because you don't want to listen to that. If it's
you'd welcome LSU.
Oh yeah, oh, and yeah. If LSU beats you,
who cares? Hey,
good for you guys. Nice tournament.
It'd be a fun trophies. Environment on a Sunday. Be kind of cool. It's happened before. It's fun. In 08, that was a really cool half and half environment. Yeah, it was cool.
I would suspect that Mike would prefer it be Florida or Mizzou or somebody over there.
Arkansas's fine.
Even because at that point, Arkansas's in the same boat you're in. If they're playing on Sunday.
Mike and Van Horn probably walked out the plate and chuckle a little bit. And yeah. Go, so, you got a manager that throws 80?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. That's really that's it was a Baird that did this one time. He said, handed the ball to somebody and said, you've been saying you wanted to pitch.
It was a – It was Auburn and Arkansas, that story you told, both teams pissed off because it would have been Norm DeBrine.
It was Norm DeBrine.
Yeah, and, for Arkansas.
And yeah. And they both were in. They both knew exactly what they were doing. And Auburn lost and was – no, maybe Auburn won. I can't remember. Whoever won was pissed at the other team for not winning. Because it was a late game and you had to turn around and play the next day early. And they both had – because you know how baseball players are. Your position players are going to go play hard. That's all they know how to do. And the truth is you don't want one of – I mean, like, speaking of hamstrings, like Kessinger, you know, has battled a little hamstring thing all year. If you're Ole Miss and you have to play Friday afternoon late and you win, you turn around on Saturday morning, it's like, look, man, if this thing's even remotely bothering you.
Take a break.
Because it's meaningless now. And that's where fans get upset, and I understand that because they want to see the championship and the dog pile and the T-shirts and the caps and the new fancy trophy.
The new trophy.
But truth is, if you're Ole Miss, Arkansas, Georgia, and you're playing on Saturday, you're good. And if you're not good, well, then everyone is complete, like you said earlier.
Yeah, worst case for Ole Miss is you're home on, like, Thursday or even Friday, and then Georgia's playing Arkansas at some point later in the weekend, and you go, oof.
Yeah, you start worrying a little. But if that ends up being the case, again, everyone misread the whole thing all year long.
Well, I don't necessarily mean that. I mean, suddenly those teams get two or three more conference wins than you have.
Yes.
The resume literally starts separating because of Hoover. That's kind of what I've said the whole time. It's not about right now or that whatever. It's that what if somebody gets hot? Well, suddenly their resume, because these games do count. Not count more, just count. There can be separations here for any of these programs that hang around for a few days in Hoover. It's just the way it works, and it is what it is. And you know, I mean, I don't know. Teeth gnashing is going to happen. I understand it. There's no – this is not scientific. This is 10, 11 people in a room. So what exactly is going to happen, I have no idea. But we'll try to break it down best we can as it moves forward. Tell you quickly that the podcast is brought to you in part by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel. Completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line vacations, taking the stress out of planning, taking care of dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, and all else related to your vacation, getting you out of lines and on to more rides. Mention the podcast, get a $25 Disney gift card when booking your vacation, and contact him for a free, no obligation quote at Brandon at keystodreamtravel.com or 901-634-8687. Also ask about the free dining options available to you.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy Grass that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. You'll get Rebel Savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. You should know Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Gambrell and Associates. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700 or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, that kind of thing, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000 and credit scores down to 580, they'll get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
I assume when you head out on Wednesday, you're going to pack your jeans?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those jeans are awesome. I mean, in all seriousness, I now just want one more pair, and I can just rotate. They're phenomenal. I mean, they're, you know how most jeans are.
I know a lot of people roll with their eyes because they think Neil's being hyperbolic.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not a jean wearer.
I have in the past ordered expensive jeans in my eyes off of like websites and liked them. But jeans can get heavy, and like they don't fit you right, and you're always having to pull them up. Like the more you wear them. And if you're built like me, and I'm not built well at all, like my legs are not big, and then yet I've got big, they don't fit right. I never can get a pair to fit right. These are phenomenal. And they're light, and they're great. I love them. I
mean, yeah, they're absolutely worth it, both of us. You can check them out online at Blue Delta Jeans. They also do the fit match, which is kind of neat. If you've got a perfect pair of jeans that you really, really like, they'll make basically that exact same fit for you in a better denim and whatever customized options you want as well for a cheaper price than their overall bespoke options. So you can get a couple different things with Blue Delta. You can check them out again. Also on the square in Oxford, you just walk in, get fitted, be out in 10 minutes.
And people talk about how, well, I'll just buy my Levi's. There's nothing wrong with that, but these are not Levi's. You could wear these to church. You could wear these to a lot of places. People talk about the price of them. I'll be honest. I understand that. But after owning a pair now for a couple of weeks, I think it's a bargain. I'm not a suit wearer. You and I had this conversation. I'm a journalist. How many days a year do I wear a suit? An actual suit. The pant, the slacks, the coat, a tie, shirt, all that stuff. 10? No more than 20 days a year.
Yeah, I'm probably a touch more because I wear more suits to church. But yeah, no, there's no doubt. I mean, jeans, 10 times the amount of days. Even for me, who, until these, haven't really been a jeans wearer, honestly.
But even if you're a just wearing them to church, that's a maximum of 52 days a year.
That is correct, yes. So anyway. 52 and a couple... A wedding, a funeral, and a couple football games, and that's pretty much your.
I know what
I've got to pack a suit this week. How do you pack one in the suitcase? Because I can't take. I don't have room for a garment bag. So just
pack it neatly and hang it when you get out. You might
It's going to be rough. I mean,
and you might have to take a cool iron to it just to smooth it out.
It's gonna.
You excited about this trip? Fired up.
So about the Warriors last night is they no, it's good, it's fine. Lost my train of thought.
Did you watch the Preakness?
No.
Couldn't see it.
Mm-mm, didn't see it.
The fog. Had you tried to watch it?
I read a lot of. Is this? I was kind of old school with this. I haven't even watched a replay of the Preakness, but I've read about 10 different articles on it.
It was a very entertaining race.
Heard he was good, and he was good enough.
Well, he got pushed from the very get-go. And then he held off, and he won. I love when people go, well, he's not as good of a horse as... It's like, how do you do that? I mean, he was running...
it's sports in general. I mean, we go, well, the Patriots aren't as good as the Bears. Like, I mean, that's what we do.
We do it. It's just, and when you hear it done on something that...
Okay, if you want to go, if he wins this thing, let's say he wins the Belmont, and personally, the way he was pushed, I've got some doubts about his ability to win the Belmont, but let's say he does.
He benefits from having one more week, but I'm with you.
Yeah, there's going to be some rested horses. I don't know. That's a long track. I'm not really feeling it as little as I know about horse racing. But when he wins it, and you go, okay, here's him against American Pharoah, how is he, whatever. Number one, track conditions totally different, probably in all three places.
Yes.
But even so, okay, it's in the same era, it's 3 years ago. I thought, while I understand it, it was really a disservice to what Pharoah accomplished. I'm talking about a horse, like he has feelings or cares. But to go, well, he wouldn't have beat Secretariat. Well, it was the greatest horse of all time. I mean...
Literally,
you know,
when they
did, every championship team doesn't go, well, you know, I'm just telling you.
Literally, they discovered
that 1946 Army team would have beaten. Like, okay,
they discovered that Secretariat had a massive heart,
a genetic issue that allowed him to.
Yeah, I don't mean that. Oh, he was boy, he got a lot of heart. No, no, no. He literally had a lot of heart,
which allowed more oxygen
and it allowed him to run at max capacity for longer than the other horses who had literally less heart. I'm talking in literal terms. So
Secretariat was put on this earth for one thing, and it was to race.
Yeah, I mean, when Secretariat was in line to get heart, God gave him like the jumbo-sized one. And then he was...
And apparently he kind of knew it, too. Apparently he was a very cocky horse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he knew always...
Kind of look over at times.
He always knew that he got to the bag of oats before everybody else did every single time.
Yeah. Sham was right there. I mean, yeah. You know, poor guy.
The ones I remember were Affirmed and Alidar. Damn Alidar, man. Alidar had to think so many times, you know, if I'd been born 1 year earlier or 1 year later, I'm a legend.
Instead, I'm just a dude.
Instead, my post-race life is going to suck.
I don't know about that.
I think it did. I read a story about it. Yeah, it was like tragic.
Okay.
Affirmed always beat him by a head.
Yeah. Secretariat's post-race life did not suck.
No, no. So, you're going to pay me to have sex again today, huh? All right.
Well, you're just getting paid in oats. Somebody else is actually getting.
But you're getting the best oats.
High quality oats for Mr. Terriot. I said this a couple weeks ago. If you've never read it, the pure heart story on him for, I think it was in Sports Illustrated, the guy that died a couple weeks ago. One of the best five pieces of journalism I've ever read. It was phenomenal. If you haven't read that and you have just any interest about life or sports or anything, because it wasn't about a horse. It was about a guy covering a horse for his entire life is what the subject was. But it was super. The guy's name is slipping my mind. He passed away.
Yeah, I can't think of it either, but I know what you're talking about. It was a phenomenal story.
Yeah, so. ESPN making a deal out of Tom Brady being absent for the start of Pat's OTAs this morning. I see. He'll be on the field when it starts. Everything's fine. How much longer has it got? Seriously.
I wouldn't think more than a couple of years. I think the story, if you believe it to be true, about them trying to trade up for Baker Mayfield tells you that they think the end is very near. They kept the coordinator who was going to go to Indianapolis. He stayed. It's obvious Belichick's thinking about walking away. That 30 for 30 on the Patriots dynasty will be fascinating. Because it feels like it's just being held together by scotch tape right now.
Big news for New Orleans this morning, I see. The bidding for the 2024 Super Bowl is being done this Wednesday. Currently, New Orleans is the only city that has submitted a bid.
Well, then I like their chances.
Yeah, it says the New Orleans getting the Super Bowl is, quote, highly probable. Well, I think. I don't know how. I mean, a bad bid package would be the only way you could not get it, I assume.
Talk about things that you wonder how much longer it's got. How much longer can New Orleans keep bringing events to the Dome?
They've done a nice update job. They put as much lipstick on that pig as you can put.
They did. They put some nice lipstick
on it.
It's
been modernized as much as it can. But now, look, it has no user experience whatsoever compared to the modern venues. And that's great for Saints games in a way. It's got a almost kind of a Tad Smith feel to it, where when they're good and it's loud, it's rowdy. It's tough. And yeah, it's a weird place to play.
But for bowl games and stuff,
it's not as good for an event.
Like the Sugar Bowl. I know Ole Miss people love the Sugar Bowl, and it was a great game and all that stuff. But the environment at that game at times was a little sterile. I've heard people say that about playoff games there. Not Saints playoff games.
Just in
football playoff games. And for Super Bowls and stuff, I don't know that it has that same feel.
It's a great home venue. It's not a great neutral venue.
Right.
And which that Super Bowl was, Sugar Bowl was kind of sterile because it was 31-3 at halftime. But
it was. It wasn't a competitive game.
Did Oklahoma
game.
State bring a ton of fans? I don't even remember.
No, Ole Miss took pretty much the entire state of Mississippi and 2/3 of its alumni base. Oklahoma State had some people there, but they were overshadowed. And then when they got blown out early, they said, hey, let's go drink.
Yeah, Bourbon Street's right over there. Let's.
So you want to stay here and watch the rest of this blowout, or do you want to go get a hurricane? Hurricane it is! Yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of died out.
Yeah. It's one of your better premonition moments is Ole Miss did not score on the opening possession. You went, yeah, this is a blowout.
Yeah, I did.
It had been one possession, and they didn't score.
I looked you right in the eye, and I go, this is a blowout. And you kind of looked at me funny. I went, blowout. That line of scrimmage was not competitive.
And it was blowout in a minute.
Yeah.
Chad hit a long pass, and before we knew it, Laramie was catching a touchdown, and it was...
If I remember right, Chad made a bad decision first drive.
Threw a pick.
And threw a pick, but it was like, well, he's not going to do that again, and this thing is over.
Yeah.
That line of scrimmage was not competitive.
Well, because it was... That kid, was it Akba? The defensive end for Oklahoma State that everybody had touted.
As a first-round pick, and I think he ended up being a first-round pick.
Yeah, I do too, and he got worked in the first half by Tunzel.
Yeah, he went over to the other side.
He went to the... they flipped him. And to then, the other side.
And then he still wasn't effective. And
no.
The kid, bless his heart, who got flipped over to have to play against Laramie.
That wasn't fair either. No, so did Laramie play the second? No, hold on. Did Laramie even play the second half?
No.
He didn't. He never played the second half.
No, so I think his last play was the touchdown.
I do too. Yeah, I don't think he ever got on the field again after the thing.
Well, there was no reason to play him. Let him get out there and get hurt. It would be crazy. So we hadn't talked about this.
Okay.
I wrote about it in 10 Thoughts. You've been busy. I don't know whether you've had a chance to read 10 Thoughts or not. LSU gets Joe Burrow. Rumor in Baton Rouge from people who know what they're talking about is at least two and maybe all three of the quarterbacks on campus are leaving.
Okay.
This is Ed Orgeron going at the card table. He is pushing all in. At the end of this hand, Chase, when the dealer does the deal, he has no more chips
him. It's two things. It's one, he does not believe he actually has a quarterback on campus that can win.
Yes.
And two, yeah, it's the same movie made at Ole Miss. He went and got Jevon Snead.
I wrote about Schaefer.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of Snead, too.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm going to get this guy. He's my guy. He's going to do what I want him to do. Now, here's the catch. If he interferes and tinkers like he has been doing in the past and already has done with Matt Canada as well, they're not going to run the right thing there too, because Orgeron was dead set on a certain way to use Brent Schaefer that was against what Dan Warner wanted to do and what Brent Schaefer could do physically. It made absolutely no sense whatsoever, because Ed was determined to make Brent try to run this pro-style USC offense.
And that wasn't who he was.
Oh, God. I mean, no.
It was round peg, square hole.
I mean, look, they weren't going to be good, but I do wonder at least what Schaefer would have looked like had you done some run and shoot kind of crap with him and let him throw it around. Because, I mean, he was a talented guy.
Yeah, very athletic.
But.
Well, this kid, Burrow, very smart.
Yeah.
But.
I question his sanity a little bit, but I mean. Anyway.
I get the allure of being the quarterback at LSU.
Well, and with the. For a kid like that, he doesn't know Ed Orgeron and understand the intricacies as I do. He just sees a team that has been talented as heck every single year and doesn't have a quarterback. It's the one missing piece.
And I'm guessing if you're the starting quarterback at LSU and you're doing okay, that life is probably good.
See where they touted that they'd had more quarterbacks drafted than any other SEC school over the last so many years?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Hey, PR 101, baby. Always be closing. Mm. It's a true statement.
There were probably some people that, because I know some of the people in their media relations, their hand raised guy got shot down.
You think so?
There's no doubt.
It's like a say.
Ed, I don't know, man. I'm kind of thinking, do it.
Do it.
I said do it now.
You kind of sound like Schwarzenegger, not Orgeron there.
I can't do the Orgeron thing.
What's your favorite Schwarzenegger movie? You're probably not a Schwarzenegger guy, are you?
Not at all.
Because of just not action or what?
Yeah, I don't like those kinds of movies.
You're not
much.
The big blow it up?
Not really.
Terminator, Predator. It
doesn't do a lot for me.
Last Action Hero, whatever that was called.
No. Are you into that?
Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten Cop was actually pretty funny.
There you go. See?
There you go. With Danny DeVito. Was DeVito in that?
No.
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 He did one with DeVito that was pretty good.
Wasn't it Twins?
Maybe so. I don't know.
Yeah, you see, you're not the guy to do the movie thing with. Just
I don't watch a lot of movies, but...
But you always tell me you like every movie you watch, almost.
I do like... I'll give you an example. I didn't feel good over the weekend and had the house to myself, basically. Carson was in here being the Cleveland Indians, and they were...
He's on
PS4.
Sorry, yeah, I got you.
He's the Cleveland Indians.
I was a little slow on the uptake.
And he's the center fielder for the Indians, and they were in the playoffs this weekend.
Oh, okay. Big day.
They beat the Rangers in the DS, lost in Game 7 to the Red Sox.
That sucks.
That did suck. He hit the walk-off to send it to a Game 7 in Game 6. It was exciting. Yeah, he went to arbitration after that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good
he
call.
Won. Yeah, it's a good call. Went from $1 million a year to like $13 million a year.
Well, that's
like,
a win.
It's a win, bud.
Do you have a point?
Somewhere. Oh, I watched. There was a movie, and I don't know the name of it.
Good start.
It was Jennifer Aniston.
That's a start.
And I don't know who the guy was, but they ended up at a commune. And it was pretty funny.
Oh, is she in Wanderlust? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wanderlust.
That's funny, at least.
It's fine. It.
She's easy to look at for 2 hours.
I mean, okay, but doesn't make the movie. Pretty sure it was Wanderlust.
Wanderlust, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I've seen that. It's been
Judd
a while.
Apatow, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes, would you like to guess what it gets?
Ooh. Okay, let me think back. Hold on. It was... Who else was in it first?
Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston star in this laugh out loud comedy about leaving it all behind. After George, was Rudd, loses his high stress Manhattan job, he and his wife Linda, Jennifer Aniston, hit the road and wind up crashing at Elysium, a free spirited community of
hippies.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember the definition.
Tree huggers and the
Paul Rudd was who I couldn't remember. It's quirky enough to not be terrible. Go 65%.
Close.
Okay.
59%.
Okay. What's critics' consensus as it gives?
That's what I'm looking. Top critics.
No, like right beside the Rotten Tomatoes score, there should be a critics' consensus on like the page. Between the audience score and the critics' score.
I'm looking. It says reviews counted 140, fresh 82, rotten 58. Average is 5.6 out of 10. I don't see a consensus.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on. I didn't pull it up. We'll see. Wanderlust. Rotten Tomatoes.
How do we get here?
I don't know. If it isn't always as funny as it should be, it isn't always as funny as it should be, but Wanderlust benefits from an extremely talented cast and some of David Wayne's most confident, assured work behind the camera. As the audience, by the way, hated it, gave it 39%.
Oh.
Not overly stunned there as well. Jennifer Aniston, not known for critically acclaimed movies most of the time, so I'm not surprised by her highest rated movies, The Good Girl, I believe that has Jake Gyllenhaal in it, 81%. Office Space, 79%. Friends with Money, 72%. Sorry, Iron Giant, 96%.
Never heard of that one.
Yeah. Most of hers are rotten, however. I'm having a hard time going through Adam Sandler, Brooklyn Decker, and her Just Go With It, 18% on the low end. Marley and Me gets 62%.
That's a good movie. The book's fantastic. It makes you cry.
The book is fantastic.
Makes you just cry for 2 hours.
I don't watch the end of the movie.
No.
No. Nope. That is a movie for about an hour and 40 minutes.
And then I'm done.
And then it's not a movie.
And then I'm done. The movie no longer exists.
It's like the Rocky trilogy where you don't watch the fifth one. You just stop Marley and Me, and it ends with whatever the last happy moment is in that movie before the end. That's. I will still watch it on television when it comes on, but it is a stop at a certain point.
I'm with you. The movie ends. Everyone lives happily ever after, damn it.
Bruce Almighty got 49%. Along Came Polly got 25%. Ooh. The Breakup got 34%. Leprechaun got 23%. So Leprechaun actually beat a couple of her other movies. That's good for the situation. Anyway, okay. There's your Jennifer Aniston thing for the day. I know you're impressed.
I am.
Are you? Just saying.
I like her, but like I'm not just crazy about her.
Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting to understand your market. A leader in condo financing in Oxford, so ask about the float-down option. You can lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is... My computer just... acted crazy. Sorry. The podcast is also brought to you by Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's in Dallas in the Metroplex. She's a rebel by marriage. She specializes in East Dallas, has a network that extends throughout the DFW Metroplex. Lauren loves cheering on the Rebs. She would love to help rebel fans in Dallas or moving to Dallas, sell their home, or find and buy their new one. Whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town. That's Lauren Valick Ferris. Give her a call, 469-867-1734, or go to her site, laurenandkelly.com, and that's with an EY, laurenandkelly.com. Guests will join us at some point this week whenever we have podcasts and such, and when they do, they'll join us on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Billy's Pecans is in Crenshaw, Mississippi. They know the perfect crunch for every palate. Let them handle all your corporate thank yous. Whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, they can handle it with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style, with items at every price point. You simply can't choose wrong. Consider their assorted gift bags, the party trio, the pecans and chocolate. Additionally, they'll customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes so your brand is front of mind. Their decadent flavors are there to back it up. It's billyspecans.com or
1-800-624-7404. Let's see. I had something up. Now I can't find it. Oh, by the way, host sites, I'm assuming, unless the schedules change, will be announced on Sunday, late afternoon, early night, somewhere around 6, 7 o'clock. It's typical for that.
Okay.
Those are typically put out by the NCAA on Twitter now. I think their official account is NCAA_CWS, maybe, something like that. And then the full bracket, including the national seeds, is Monday morning. It's on Memorial Day at 11, I think, on ESPN2 or ESPNU. Is the station. They always have a 30-minute or hour program to put out the entire bracket, and the national seeds will be part of that telecast. They'll run through the national seeds at the beginning of that show before the full bracket is announced. Ole Miss always has a watch party for that. The media is invited. So we'll talk about it plenty before then, but we'll have access and reaction after the bracket is announced. And I can say that no matter what happens in Hoover, they will certainly be playing baseball at Swayze Field next weekend. So,
It's bold.
You know, just got a hunch. I feel okay about it.
Yeah, that's done.
I mean,
there's four teams that are going to Hoover knowing they're hosting a regional.
Yes. There will be more ball played at Foley Field and Baum Stadium and Swayze and I'm forgetting the name of Florida's field right now, but
can't
whatever.
Either.
Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. I don't know.
Oh, hell.
Are you looking it up? Crap, what is it? I know this. McKeithen Stadium.
There you go.
Yeah, McKeithen Stadium.
Yeah, those four places need to keep the grass going. Got to keep watering.
They're all natural grass, for sure, yeah.
Are they going to be playing games?
I think so.
Yeah, they're hosting regionals.
Carolina's got to be kicking itself because he got off to such that bad start when just a little more there in the early part.
Well, like I said, I would not want them coming in my place as a two.
Would you rather have Carolina or Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt.
Would you? Okay.
Carolina's better than Vanderbilt. Dang, I'm sorry. I know this is awful podcasting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're not feeling real good.
No, I'm literally.
You're going to get dried up in a minute?
When you walk out of here, I'm walking out behind you. I'm going to the doctor.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say, give me all the shots.
Yeah, you're a shot guy.
They always come in there. Do you want one or two? I'll take seven. But if you're limiting me to one or two, I'll take the two, please.
That is your thing.
Oh, a little bit of pain in your hip for relief?
For whatever. Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding? All day. Now, I'm not going to be that guy that goes, all right, shot doesn't hurt. The shot doesn't hurt, but you're pretty sore back there for a little while after it's over.
Yeah, I've never been terribly bothered by that. That doesn't.
No, needles don't really bother me.
Oh, no, I watch the blood come out when they take blood.
The shot in your hip.
That's sore.
It does get a little sore.
Do you get it on one side or the other because of the soreness on one side or the other?
No, because I'll get two. I'll get one on one side and one on the other. Got to balance that out.
Can they put them
on
the same side?
I guess they could, but they never do. I always laugh when they're like, you know, drop them. They don't mean drop them. They always tell you these stories about like the old man that goes in there and they say drop them and he just drops it all. It's like, why would you even? Why?
I've got such an Ole Miss related funny story for that I'm not telling right now. Go ahead.
I mean, they just need a half an inch to an inch.
Yeah.
I can give them that. And they're not wanting to see all that. Well, they don't.
I know. Oh, last thing. You see Hicks throwing 105 miles an hour?
It's insane, man.
He didn't really locate it very well.
No one's digging in there. Dear God.
Do you think there's a lot of difference between 101 and 105? At some point.
Just in the way that it sounds, you don't see either one. Dude, Herrera hit the ball twice against that.
You were impressed? That he just made contact?
Yes.
105 moving like hell.
But the catcher had no chance to catch the ball.
No, the catcher was just swiping at it.
I mean, he like hit it off the end of his glove.
Well, the thing was moving 18 inches.
I mean, there's no way to catch that. No way.
He needs to slow it down, honestly.
No, he's throwing too hard.
Yeah.
He has no control of it.
It's kind of fun to watch, though.
It's bizarre. I mean, you like look into the Cardinal dugout when that was over, and they're all just like shaking their heads. These are major leaguers.
Yeah, they were laughing.
Yeah, and Herrera's up there going. I mean, he got to first base on the strikeout wild pitch.
Yeah.
And you know he got to first base and goes, that is the ultimate participation trophy. And by God, I'm taking this one home.
I hate that rule. Let's get rid of it. Strikeout, wild pitch. Hate it.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it.
It's stupid.
But with a guy like him, it comes into play. Because now, if you're a guy like him, you've got to say, hey, man.
Catch the ball.
You've got to throw something that the catcher can catch. That's a major league catcher back there. Yeah. That's not catchable. You've got to say to him, you've got to dial it back. Because that happens to you in a playoff game. And they're good enough to go to the playoffs. They're a good team. Brewers are a good team.
Division's kind of fun.
Central's kind of fun. Pittsburgh's overachieving. The Cubs are solid.
Atlanta comes back from five down in the ninth yesterday.
Yeah, they're good. That lineup, shoo. They will grind.
Still your way.
Bunch of kids. Washington's making that run. Philly's good. Baseball's fun. A lot of good teams. But nobody just – except Houston. Houston's phenomenal. That pitching staff.
What are you going to order at Bonefish on Wednesday?
I'm not going to Bonefish.
You're not?
Nope.
Okay. Do you know where you're going?
I don't. I
hadn't got there yet?
The schedule works out perfectly for me to have some flexibility.
It does. You'll be out of the park by 6:30.
6:30.
Latest.
Yeah.
Because that game will start on time.
Yeah, don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. Turn it. Because if there's lightning within 3 hours, they'll delay
that. That was a really good line by Parrish Offord on Saturday. Saturday when they had the lightning delay at Tuscaloosa. He said there's somewhere There's the game is currently in delay as there's lightning somewhere between Sewell Thomas Field and the Syrian border.
I covered, no joke, it was a super regional, Auburn and Tulane, or it might have just been a regional. It was my last day on the Auburn beat. Mm-hmm. And there was clear skies. And all of a sudden, we were in a lightning delay because the NCAA runs the regionals.
Well, if you remember, in 2014, we had the rain delay that never rained.
Yeah.
At the regional.
We sat there, Chase, for 3 hours, man. No rain, no nothing. It was sunny. We were on a lightning delay. And it was, what are we, this is insane.
As they do with everything that they do, they are protecting the student athletes. That is what they do.
I mean.
Did you see the poor bastard on Twitter that said that the NCAA was a success story with Jarrell Poe because they gave a kid an opportunity to get a degree and he succeeded?
You gotta be kidding me.
No, it got called to our attention. We got mentioned in the tweet.
This must have been Friday because my Twitter went a little crazy Friday because I called out most of the state of Mississippi over
that. I saw that
car accident.
I saw that.
And usually I'll have Twitter rants that I regret. I don't regret that one. I firmly believe in that one. The mayor of that city should resign.
I can't think of a worse tragedy, honestly.
No, than what happened. No.
I mean,
that tore me up.
Yeah.
It did. It.
I saw it and just kind of sat there. There was nothing. I mean, I don't know.
Only child.
Yeah.
Not that having siblings would have changed the devastation. A day away from her high school graduation, I think was going to enroll at the University of Missouri in the fall.
Okay, I have no idea.
Apparently a really sharp kid. And yeah, she's a kid. She's a year older than my daughter and their kids. Everything you hear about her, I mean, I don't know her. What always blows me away about Mississippi is you guys all know each other, you know, and I mean that in a cool way. But I've talked to people who do know her family, and they rave about her. Just great kid, funny, bubbly. And look, accidents happen. I mean, life's not fair. And a lot of times
there's a difference in accidents and neglect.
Yes. And sometimes accidents happen and there's just nothing you can do about it. And it's just tragic and your heart breaks. But in this case, all of that happens except this was avoidable.
It's criminal negligence.
It's criminal negligence on the part of the Jackson Police Department, on the part of the mayor of Jackson, on the part of everyone who could have so easily done something about it by putting some cones up. Dude, some traffic cones change the... You know you have a problem. The other woman had her tire slashed. Mm-hmm. So that means, I don't know, for those of you who've never driven, you don't know this, if you've ever driven a vehicle, if two of your tires get slashed, you're not rolling any further. So they knew not only that there was a problem, exactly what the problem was and where it was, and did nothing. And then it happened to somebody else again who told them someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand if you're the mayor of Jackson how you're still in office today. How do you not say this is on my watch and I'm we're all culpable here. How do you, if you're the police department, how are people not out of work today? And no, none of that brings her back. It is the kind of thing that just is confounding. I have spent the weekend like thinking about her family and not only that, think about her. Think about her. She loses such what apparently was a really bright future over criminal negligence on the part of the people who taxpayers' money go to protect her.
Yeah.
If I live in Jackson, I am demanding change. in the event that anyone knows that family, please, on behalf of Chase and myself, please let them know that they have been in our thoughts and prayers and feelings and everything ever since I heard about it. It has been, I can assure you, for me, it I didn't know the young lady at all, but it has dramatically impacted my weekend, and I have not stopped thinking of you.
No appropriate segues. We will have more coverage at rebelgrove.com and all facets of almost athletics, a little bit of happening in every area, as well as podcasts throughout the week and then the SEC baseball tournament beginning Wednesday for Ole Miss. Again, 1 o'clock against Auburn or Kentucky. Podcast as the schedule allows that we mentioned at the opening of the show, and we will talk to you tomorrow.